It is time to bring in Tim, Luke, and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This. Of course, you can find them on the web, tqag.com. That stands for Treasure Quest Appraisal Group. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the gentleman from Florida.
Good morning.
Greetings.
You want to know what my car said this morning?
Yes.
Broom, broom.
I'm
sorry. Actually, you opened the door. I had to walk through it.
Yours did not. It just went a very slow hum. We have a Prius.
That's I was going to say, that's your car true. Went like this.
Right.
Yeah.
Bing, bing. Passing your seatbelts, please.
Bing, bing. Are you saying that you were already out driving this morning?
No, I was just, I just took advantage of the moment.
Okay, well, that's good. So here you are. Here you are. Here you both are.
Well, yes, we're both in Florida.
Okay.
This week.
And for how long?
I don't know.
No?
We're still planning March, so we'll figure it out.
Yeah, March is about to just sort of unleash itself.
Yes.
And it's... I don't know why this particular February, it seems that March is, I actually do know the answer. It's because of when it started. It's because of when February started, and it's because mm-hmm. February and March have the same day, same, not number of days, but the 1st of February is the same day as the 1st of March, because February is a 28-day month, and it just suddenly is there, and which means that what's really the first week of March is actually further along in the calendar than you might want to even deal with.
Well, yeah. I don't know about you, but I personally could have used an extra day in February.
You could have used a leap year. I understand.
I know. Well, it's coming in like a lion, I'll tell you that. There's just a lot of stuff. So all over the place.
So is California part of it, or...
Yes, actually. But I'll be in California for the International Society of Appraisers conference. I'll be presenting on street art and then attending their conference and then teaching the Uniform Standards of Professional Appraisal Practice. So, yeah, so that's in there, as well as a couple of other things. We've got a couple other things going on. So.
And then the other
thing, good.
That is excellent. And the other thing that happens is, you know, people start looking around because it's a little bit, at least around here, it's a little bit lighter. And they go, oh, wow, I've got a lot of stuff left over.
Spring cleaning, my yep. favorite time of year.
Yes, yes. Well, we Greg received a phone call yesterday that ties into a couple of things that we were going to talk about. So, Greg, talk about the phone call we got yesterday. We received.
Well, yeah. A gentleman called. He was all excited. He purchased a 40-inch teapot. And I said, are you sure it's a teapot? It's 40 inches teapot? And he said, yes. And I said, well, what is it made from? And he says, well, it's... looks like it's made from copper. And well, the first thing I thought of, oh, he must have a samovar. Okay, so I said, well, give me some more description about it. He said, well, it has dragons on it and a Buddha, and it has dragon handles and a dragon spout. And I said, well, do you have where did you get this? And he says, well, I bought it from somebody, and I paid $250 for it. I said, oh, really? Okay. And why do you, what is it that you bought it for? He says, well, because I saw it and the price was so good, I just know it had to be worth more than that. So I paid him $250 for it. So he proceeds to email me a photograph upon request. And so I said, well, I'll do some research for you. And when I did the research, I knew exactly what it was without even having to do the research. It's as I suspected, it's all it was is an Asian mixed metal decorative teapot. It certainly was a vessel of some sort. and it was probably only worth about, you know, in today's market, if he would have if he would have waited 2 weeks, he could have probably gotten it from a thrift store for maybe $75. But he wasn't taken. I mean, it was a fair price, and it was a willing seller and a willing buyer. And I asked him, I said, well, why did you buy it? And he said, well, I thought for sure it was going to be worth much, much more, and that I would probably double or triple my money. So I had to break the news to him that it was, you know, it was a fair price is all I would say to him. I said, yeah, that was a fair price.
Right. And but that it was also, Greg, and not to interrupt, but also in the news just last week, there was an extremely rare porcelain teapot that sold for $802,000. So when that gets out there into the news, and I posted it on Facebook, but there was a repair to the handle and it didn't have a lid. And when I posted this, people were saying, but it's not in pristine condition. It didn't have this, didn't have that. And what about the break? And I said, you know, when you have something that rare and it's still desirable, that people are still going to pay a premium for it at that point, because it's the only one known in existence. And then once you get that out there in the news, then you have a number of people that think, oh, look, this is 40 inches. Look how big this is. Maybe,
yeah, exactly. And all he heard was teapot, $800,000. And he thought, wow, how much could this be worth?
Yep. And that's kind of how it goes. And that's, you know, there's always the opportunity to sort of refresh your eyes and review your position, although people don't necessarily take advantage.
Well, in some cases, but in what you're talking about is refreshing your eyes and taking another look at things. There was just this week in Paris, the French police had done a search of a bus. For some reason, they had pulled this bus over, and they were searching through the luggage compartment of the bus, and lo and behold, they found this stolen Degas that had been stolen from a museum in Paris in 2009, where it was on loan. And of course, no one on the bus is going to say, excuse me, officer, that's mine.
Yeah, I don't know.
A fresh look is it's really interesting that all of a sudden it turned up, and how they must have the news article doesn't say if they received a tip or why they just randomly pulled this search, you know, pulled this bus and the search. But it's interesting when you're able to find something like that. And again, it's, you know, looking in a place that they didn't probably think that they would find anything like that. And it has been confirmed and it's being returned to the rightful owner.
And so, I don't know whether people are aware that stolen art, you can go watch Ocean's 11 or 13 or whatever, but it is I believe it's the fourth biggest international crime trade. There's a huge
fourth. Thing. I would think it would be first or second.
No.
Well, you know what? I'm not sure what the first is, arms, but I would suspect arms and probably jewelry. I would suspect jewelry would arms, be like way right, up there.
Okay, arms, drugs, and jewelry. Okay, then it would be fourth. Okay.
but it's right up. You know, it's not. There's a whole and.
And it's the same group of people doing it.
But it's also divided into different types. You know, the type that doesn't know what they have, the type that wants it, you know, the museum of the missing types, and then the
the type that take buses.
And yeah, and then there's the poor chump in the middle that is the go between that taking it from here to there.
Right. That's right. They and just then told they
get on a bus. Yes, to take this. I don't know.
And then someone's like, "Oh, look what we found on the bus." There's only one way you typically get, "Oh, look what we found on the bus."
Right.
And so the fun thing, and Greg loves to do this and should, is you connect those, you just wait for little bits to come out, and then you connect the dots a year later.
After I read this story, I'm left with so many questions because it was just a hint. They just didn't tell you how they chose to search this bus, why they chose to search this bus.
Right.
And it's obvious that whoever had the suitcase must have been on the bus.
No, it isn't.
Or,
no, that's.
Well, they could have put it on the bus to ship it somewhere because I guess buses do freight because I've used them for that. But I'm more curious to find out more about the story
And with all respect,
why they pulled the bus over to begin with.
Right. And so basically, if you are of a certain type of mind, you know that none of this was accidental. And you've just got, you're not even a fraction. You've got one little, daub of the story. And it's to be continued.
In the one sentence, these were customs agents. It was the French Cultural Ministry said on Friday that customs agents were surprised to find the work of art bearing the signature Degas inside the suitcase of the bus luggage compartment.
Quelle surprise!
So,
quelle surprise! Really? And they were pulling the bus over for what reason? And they were surprised when they found this painting. Oh, right. What is the likelihood that
actual people
painting might have been on the bus?
But actual people, right? Exactly right. But actual people with actual brains, and this is my argument with the news business, is they forget that there are actual people with actual brains. So, here you go. That's
read between the lines, people. Read between the lines.
And file it away and wait, because in 3 weeks, 5 weeks, 8 weeks, there will be something that you'll go, wait.
I wonder if there's
a connection here. And you slowly but surely put together what's really going on instead of, the other word that kind of got dribbled in and is now an assumption is narrative. And I'm always thinking, folks, narratives are for stories, for fiction, not for news.
Begs the other obvious question: is this just the tip of the iceberg of a larger investigation that they have stumbled upon something or someone who has a larger cache of stolen art?
And using the bus lines to move it from point A to point B.
Oh, it won't last. That's the sort of thing. Once again, the people.
We need to write a novel.
This is to be followed.
Mm-hmm.
To be followed.
And for people who really do need to start, just because it is springtime, doing spring cleaning, what's your first. I don't know. Where do you begin? It's kind of daunting. Do you start with the first?
Well, we were making a joke about it being, spring cleaning. But actually, this time of year is when people who have snowbirds in particular who do come down here are thinking about getting ready to go back up north after Easter. And that's one of the things they think about is downsizing. And we've talked about this in the past, and we do get more calls about wanting to know what this is and what to do with it, or I just need to get rid of this, and we've had interesting questions on, I want to ship this up north, who do I call? Well, one of the things about shipping fine art and decorative items is you just can't take it to the UPS store on the corner. They really need, if you are going to keep something or ship it up north, you really need to find somebody who does that as a profession. And this time of the year, we do get calls like that, in addition to the downsizing and I need to sell all of my stuff questions. So one of the pieces of information I always like to impart to people who are thinking of moving back up north for the summer, spring and summer, is if you don't have anybody, call an appraiser, call an art conservancy, call a museum even, and ask for recommendations on how to handle these items and how to pack them, because there is a certain person who lives close to you, who shall go unnamed, Amy, who tried to ship something several years ago to her mother, and it arrived here in China, and it arrived here in pieces. So we laugh about it now, but at the time, if only, you know, we would have known that it was going to be shipped down here, we would have been able to recommend how to do it, who to contact. So I think the only thing that arrived were two pieces. Everything else was pretty much broken. So these sort of things do come up this time of the year. And if you do have questions, there is homework involved. And the biggest issue is, how does it get shipped? How do you pack it? And who should pack it? So you should definitely do some homework and find out how to do that, especially with breakable items, because a lot of times porcelains can be repaired. However, a lot of times they just end up being completely demolished. So that's one of the things for the spring cleaning and moving things around. And the other issue is trying to sell items. The first thing that we usually tell people, contact a local consignment store and find out if they handle the items that you are trying to downsize. If you go into a high-end consignment shop and they're not dealing with the items that you are trying to sell, ask for a recommendation. Or an auction house. An auction house is an excellent way to go. And how do you find these things? You call a qualified and a trusted appraiser in your area, somebody who has some credentials. Right. And that's probably the first step.
And that's really good advice. And we're out of time, sadly. But wherever you are next week, we will start discussing qualified and,
We are here next week.
Okay. Well, if you are there next week, we can talk about qualified if they can't find you guys. Because really and truly, this is something that is graded, Marshall's favorite word, vetted, et cetera.
Yep.
Yes.
All right.
All right, guys.
Or wait, will we be here next week?
Okay.
Tune in to find out.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
Okay, guys.
Have a good week.
Bye, guys. Tim, Luke, and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This here on Robin Hood Radio.